the relationship between motherhood and the heart of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making humanity the way you did. Men, women, to be fathers, to be mothers. And to use each of those to illustrate some aspect of your own character. As we look at the way you have used mothers to describe yourself this day, bless our mothers with a sense of being a testimony of who you are and what you're like. Help us all to appreciate not only our mothers, but more about you. I ask for your help in this study, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In human experience, we're made up of men and women, just men and women, in spite of what people are talking about these days. In our relationship with God, however, we find in him only the masculine. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, after this manner, pray ye, our Father. And when the Father spoke from heaven regarding Jesus, he said, this is my beloved Son. This creates a dilemma for some people in our modern world. Bridget Mary Meehan and others wrote a book entitled Heart Talks to Mother God. For some reason, some people think that they have to make God to be at least in part feminine in order for us to relate to God. Can a woman develop her full spiritual potential only if God is part feminine? Here's the truth. God's character is multifaceted, but instead of trying to define God by human characteristics, we must try to understand human characteristics for both men and women by the characteristics of God. Man is not the author of God. God is the author of man and woman. He has actually chosen to express some of his characteristics in both genders. Some of God's characteristics, without God being feminine, are best understood by the actions of mothers. And so I want to talk to you about three of those characteristics of mothers today that illustrate something about God. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Isaiah 49, verse 15, number one, God's commitment to provide for his children. What is a mother? Isaiah 49, verse 15 says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. In this case, a woman has a child, and her infant child needs to be fed and cannot feed himself. And so a mother is a woman who provides nourishment to her children. Now, can a mother forget to feed her child in this case? A mother who loves her child normally, reasonably, logically, and sensibly is not going to forget to feed her child. Does a mother go shopping and while she's pushing that shopping cart around in the store think, oops, I left my baby at home and he's hungry? Well, God says they may forget, and it is possible, I suppose, for certain women to be irresponsible and forget about their child. It happens, I suppose, but it's not normal. It's not what a mother does. But God says he never forgets to provide for his children. He says, I will not forget. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, Israel cried for food and God gave them manna. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, Israel cried for water and God gave them water. Go over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, I like to feed the birds, but squirrels end up eating a lot of the bird food. But the robins don't seem to be interested in the bird food I put out. They're constantly pecking at the ground. And you know what that does? When a robin pecks on the ground, it simulates the pounding of raindrops on the earth. And when it rains, earthworms tend to come to the surface. So when the robin pecks on the ground, the worms think it's raining and they come up and the robin catches the worm. Now, who provides for the robin? I don't have to put worms in the ground to provide for the robin. God does that. And he says, are ye not much better than they? Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Psalm 131 in verse 2. Psalm 131 and verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. When a mother has provided for her child sufficiently to the point that they are weaned, she has given her child a very healthy start in life. And with a healthy start in life, they have a natural contentment and a better opportunity to lead a healthy life. That's what a mother wants for her child. And what does God want? He wants to provide for his children who love him. Psalm 31, verse 23, O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Number two, is God's commitment to edifying or instructing his children. Probably the first and most profound teacher of a young child is his mother. How to feed yourself, how to talk, how to walk, how to dress, how to wash. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, which we have seen twice already this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. She stirreth up her nest. The first thing a mother eagle does when she has determined it's time for her eaglets to learn to fly is to flutter her wings and get them awake and ready. Then she fluttereth over her young, it says. This she does to get the eaglets out of the nest. This is done when they're old enough to begin taking care of themselves. And then she spreadeth abroad her wings. She flies around the nest and vary the flights for the instruction of the young as they watch her. She then beareth them on her wings. She puts them on her back to carry them as she flies, and she soars to great heights. And then she drops them. If she perceives that they are too weak to sustain themselves, she'll fly under them and catch them on her back. But she's flown high enough to drop them, to give them plenty of space so that they can begin to flap their wings and learn to fly. What a wonderful picture. Notice what Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, beginning in verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert place, and in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them. Notice in verse 13, he made him ride on the high places of the earth. He made him to suck honey out of the rock. He taught them and he provided for them. This is God's commitment, commitment of God's heart. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written, do you know it? For our learning. God could have continued the pattern of the first 2,000 years of mankind, probably a little bit more than 2,000 years. Do you know that's how long it was before any of the scripture was written down? Moses is the first one to write down any of God's word. Moses was born approximately 2,300 years after creation. What did they have before that? Word of mouth. Repetition from the prophets. You had to have good ears, good memories. But then God chose to have the scripture written. And whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. First John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Just like the mother eagle, he wants us to begin learning. He instructs us. Even from our youth, Psalm 71, verse 17 says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. All a mother wants is for her child to be willing to learn. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, my son, forsake not the law of thy mother. And all God wants is willing students. David said in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. So just as a mother provides nourishment for her children, so God provides for his people. Just as a mother instructs her child to learn, to grow, so God instructs us that we might mature. And number three, God's commitment to protect his children. What's the first thing a child falls down, scrapes his knee? What's the first thing a child usually cries out? Mommy? Why not daddy? Well, fathers are like, be son, be tough. Life can be hard at times. You have to learn to be a man. And mothers are like, you poor dear, come here and let me kiss it and make it better. Fathers are more likely to want their sons in particular to be exposed to trouble so that they can learn to be a man. Mothers are more likely to be like the mother hen, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. The forest fire had been brought under control, and the group of firefighters were working back through the devastation, making sure all the hot spots had been extinguished. As they marched across the blackened landscape between the wisps of smoke still rising from the smoldering remains, a large lump on the trail caught a firefighter's eye. As he got closer, he noticed it was the charred remains of a large bird that had burned nearly halfway through. Since birds can so easily fly away from the approaching flames, the firefighter wondered what must have been wrong with this bird that it could not escape. Had it been sick or injured? Arriving at the carcass, he decided to kick it off the trail with his boot. As soon as he did, however, he was startled half to death by a flurry of activity around his feet. Four little birds flailed in the dust and ash, then scurried away down the hillside. The bulk of the mother's body had covered them from the searing flame. Though the heat was enough to consume her, it allowed her babies to find safety underneath. In the face of the rising flames, she had stayed with her young. She was their only hope for safety, and willing to risk her own life, she gathered them under her body and covered them with herself. Even when the pain reached its most unbearable moment, when she could easily have flown away to start another family on another day, she made herself stay through the raging flames. Her dead carcass and her fleeing chicks told the story well enough. She made the ultimate sacrifice to save her young. Psalm 91 and verse 4 says, "He, God, shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust." In fact, God, through his Son, made the ultimate sacrifice to protect us from death and hell. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." A mother wants her children to be safe. Isaiah 66, verse 13 says, "As one whom his mother comforteth," which is an illustration of God's desire for his people. For the verse continues, "So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem," safe in the protection of God. A mother has a wonderful opportunity to communicate something to her children and to others who observe some special characteristics about God. This is not about remaking God into a woman's image. It is about God using motherhood to show everyone what he is like. A mother wants her children to be healthy, and God wants to provide for his children. A mother wants her children to learn, and God wants us to learn all we can about him and his word. A mother wants her children to be protected, and God has protected us from eternal damnation if we will trust him for eternity. And he will protect us from the woes of life each and every day. If we'll just be content to be under his wings. Mothers, what an opportunity you have to show what God is like. Thank you for your testimony. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for using mothers to teach us about you. I pray today that you will help our mothers to appreciate the opportunity that you have given them to demonstrate these characteristics about you. And even as they feed their children and teach their children and protect their children, may they understand they're showing their children that you want to do these things for them as well. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.